In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Great to be back with you again. As always, brand new week, brand new opportunities to serve the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can see there my background picture is one of the wedding photos from my wife, from our wedding. And that's there because today we're going to start a little mini-series. Not every day this week, but we're going to pop these little shows in every now and again. It's called For Your Marriage. Okay, For Your Marriage. What things can we do to help you build? Because I thought about this because the other day we did a show about vocations, right? Vocation Sunday, and vocations to the priesthood, the diaconate, to religious life. And I thought, you know, where do these vocations come from? They come from families. So in order to have strong, lasting, solid vocations with holy priests, and we all want that, holy priests, holy nuns and deacons and people called to serve the church and pray on behalf of the church, give their life for the church. We need to build strong families, right? We have strong families. We have a strong church. So I thought, why don't we do something? Again, every now and again, we'll pop these in. Just something called For Your Marriage. What can we do to help build strong marriages? Because, you know, marriages are hard. You know, family life is difficult. What can we do to help build and strengthen marriages, which in turn lead to stronger family life? So we're kicking it off today with the theme of affection. Okay, we're going to talk about affection today. Can we show better affection between spouses in marriage? Right, that's what we're going to do. And I'll set it up a little bit later, but that's what we're talking about today. Would love to hear from you. If you know, maybe you've been married, like my wife and I've been married 30 years, you know, and sometimes you've been married that long, you kind of start to take each other for granted. You just assume certain things are going to happen, or just assume that, you know, this person's going to be there, that you don't have to show affection because they already know how you feel, right? Maybe that's the case, or maybe you have some things that you're doing now in your marriage to kind of to keep that affection going, because often the little things make the biggest difference. Some ideas you'd like to share with the other viewers and listeners of Beacon of Truth, some things that you're doing in your marriage. Sometimes if you're a guy, sometimes it's maybe a little bit harder to show affection. I know that's my case. You know, I didn't grow up with very affectionate parents, and so I didn't see that modeled. And so I'm not blaming them, right? Because, I mean, I'm my own person. I make my own decisions. But naturally, I'm not an overly affectionate person. So, but my wife craves affection. Uh-oh, Houston, we have a problem, right? I mean, how do we work through that? That's what we're talking about today on Beacon of Truth. And, of course, I would love to hear from you, our Beacon of Truth family. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And of course, you can always email us, beacon@ewtn.com. You can also text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response to text your first name and your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. You know, this is a great day to be talking about affection too in marriage, because my wife and I just got back from kind of a long weekend at the Oregon coast. You know, as I mentioned last week, I'm home. I've been home now. It's gonna be 12 days altogether. I leave again this Friday. But I was home through this whole weekend. So when I'm home for that kind of stretch, I always want to do something special with my wife. And so I plan for us to go to the Oregon coast, which we did. You know, this time of year, you know, basically you're gonna be seeing storms coming off of the Pacific Ocean. You know, the sun's not gonna be out very much at all this time of year at the Oregon coast. But we caught a couple of good days where it didn't rain all that much, and the sun even came out for a bit on Saturday. So we had a great time. We left on Friday and just got back like less than an hour ago, you know. So we had an amazing time. It was just good just for us just to be together, just the two of us, you know. Yes, our kids are adults, but the twins still live with us, and we just wanted to get some time just for ourselves. And so we had a great time. No agenda, no plans, you know. Let's wake up and see what happens. Now, if you know me, that's typically not me. You know, I'm a very ordered, structured person, and like, you know, that's why I love monastic life, right? Because you get up and you know what the schedule is every single day we're going to be doing. That's me. That's more my jam. But my wife is just like spontaneous. You know what? I said, you know what? Look, you know, There's nothing, there's no plan, there's no agenda, there's nothing I have in mind. Let's just see what happens. And that was kind of good to kind of go out of my comfort zone, you know, to just relax a little bit and just see how the day unfolds. You know, I don't want to do that all the time, you know, but for a getaway week with my wife, it was awesome. And we had a wonderful time. And so, thinking about this theme and I didn't time it to talk about this when we got back from our little trip, but it's always fun when we have little connections like that. One of the reasons why I love doing this show is we have great people that put in a lot of time and effort to make sure that we bring you a quality product each and every day on Beacon of Truth. And those people include Charles Beery, doing our social media, and Matt Kabinski screening calls, and of course, the producer of the ages, Ace McKay. Ace, how you doing, brother?
Are you saying I'm aging? Is that what you're saying?
No, of the ages.
Oh, my bad. Thank you.
Jack's chiming in. What could be more special than the sea lion cave? What is this obsession he has with the sea lion caves? I mean, there's more to see on the Oregon coast. Yes, I guess. Yes, the sea lions are cool.
He's clearly very made cool. A connection. Yes.
Yeah, they are very cool. But they are actually a little further south of where we were, actually, this weekend. So.
That's awesome.
How's it going, man?
It's going good. I thought of you on Saturday. I had to do music for a ball game, and the marching band did an entire set of Queen music.
Ooh,
so I've heard Queen in a lot of remixes, but not quite in a marching band fashion. I was like, Deacon Errol needs to be here for this one. I was like, and of course, what was fun is the crowd, you know, because they know the lyrics to all the, because it was all the big pop songs, right? So Bohemian Rhapsody and, you know, several others. And so people were singing along. So it became like a karaoke moment for the crowd. And I was like, this is great. You know, people engaging in the marching band, you know, it's like you go to a football game and a concert breaks out.
Yeah, exactly. That's awesome. That's awesome. Did you do anything? I know you were actually, you had a very busy weekend. So I know you didn't have any time. You had the kids, right? The kids had plays and your wife had something on. And
yep. So the kids have been in rehearsals for a musical, which finally was this weekend. So they had five shows from Thursday to last night, and they were fantastic. I finally got to see the matinee yesterday. So out of all the songs that I hear down the halls or when they're in the showers or we're in the car and I'm like, I have no context of what this song means or where they're going with it, then to finally see it all come together. And, you know, and I've said this before, like watching my kids' passions, especially when it comes to music, just to see it come to life is just one of my favorite things, because they just become different people when the music or the art takes over. And as a dad, I just like, my face literally hurts after a show because I'm smiling watching them perform. And this show was the first one they've done together, so there were several moments in the show where their characters were either dancing on stage or in some, you know, dialogue together, and I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever. So it was
awesome.
Great.
Is that,
yeah.
And what did your wife have something as well? Or,
well, she's involved with the theater as well, so her part is on the promotional side while the kids are in the show. So it helps to promote camps and things like that. So kids who want to get involved, you know, they see the big kids do their thing, and then, you know, the other kids, students go, I want to do this too, or try it, you know. And so the camps kind of help prepare you for the auditions, and the auditions hopefully get you to the shows. So it's really cool.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's great. Yeah, I love when my kids were in school and seeing them perform, you know, either singing. You know, my two daughters did a duet once in grade school, And even Claire did a guitar piece just by herself, solo guitar piece. And he used to sing in choirs. Benjamin, my son, he's the best singer out of all of us in the family here. And I used to, you know, go and see him. I mean, so it is great to see your kids performing, whether it's acting or, you know, playing music or the arts and things like that. You know, if they were artists, drawing, things like that. I mean, it's just great to see them get creative.
Yeah, amen.
Like that, you know, see that side of it. It's beautiful.
Love it.
All right, well, we're talking about affection today in a new little series of mini shows called For Your Marriage. Affection is a topic today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. Give us a call. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
So what was the first song or band that you and your wife connected on? Like when you found out she liked or that you liked?
Oh, yeah. The band that we both like, Joe Jackson, actually.
Oh, that's right. I remember you saying that.
Yeah, Joe Jackson. We actually went to a concert of his as well. Yeah, so I got a chance to see. You had mentioned that he's doing a lot of kind of like theater music or something like
that.
Yeah,
he did a Follies record last year.
Yeah,
that's really good.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, yeah, it was Joe Jackson that we connected on. Yeah.
That's the thing. I told my wife, I said, if you and I don't work out, it will be because of our musical differences, not our political differences. And she's like, okay. You know, so she's like, I know where I stand with this guy.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. You listen to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. And we're doing a show today. We're going to do a series of these. Every now and again, we'll pop these in. It's called For Your Marriage, right? What things can we do to help build strong marriages so we get great, not just great marriages, a stronger church? Because we have stronger children who will go on to be priests, deacons, religious. They'll go on to be physicians and attorneys and teachers. And, you know, the more we can build virtuous young people, the more we can build holy followers of Christ, the stronger church we have and the stronger society we will have. So we're going to do these little shows every once and again called For Your Marriage. Today's theme for Your Marriage is affection. Would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, as we gear up for the election tomorrow, don't forget you can join us in praying the novena to the Mother of God for the nation. You can do that tonight, 9:30 Eastern with EWTN Television. And then, of course, join us tomorrow as well for all the coverage. And we will keep you posted on all the things happening on how we can pray for our nation moving forward.
Well, it's time to break open God's Word in the Psalms, the book of sung praises, part of the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. And in this segment called the Soulful Psalms, we take a look at the Psalms and that we hear every day in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And we connect the Psalms to our everyday lived experience because God's Word is alive and God's Word is still speaking to us today. And we often want to see how we see Christ, right? Concealed in the Old Testament, revealed in the New Testament, as St. Augustine says. So we take a look at the Psalms. You can listen to this segment of the Soulful Psalms on its own podcast, the EWTN app. That's my go-to. Or you can use Spotify or iTunes or one of those as well. All right, today we're going to look at Psalm 20. So Psalm 20 is in Book 1 of the Psalms. All the Psalms in Book 1, Psalms 1 to 41, are attributed to David. The prescript is the entire first verse, simply says, "For the choir master, a psalm of David." Very simple. So, of course, David wrote the psalm and then gave it to the choir master to put music to. All right, so it starts at verse 2. May the Lord answer you in time of trial. May the name of Jacob's God protect you. right? So David here is very interesting. He's not just praying for himself. He's trying to give encouragement here, right? He's trying to give encouragement to us, right? Not just to the people he was when the psalm was written, but he's giving encouragement to us as well. He's praying for us in a sense, interceding in a sense for us, that when we're going through something difficult, that God answers. I'm praying the Lord that you would answer the people who are engaging you in this beautiful psalm. May the name of Jacob's God protect you, right? Abraham, Isaac, Yitzhak, who means laughter, and Jacob, also known as Israel, right? So may Jacob's God protect you. May he send you help from the holy place and give you support from Zion. I love that. So may he send you help from the holy place. So the holy place could mean, you know, the Jerusalem, right? The city of David. It means from heaven, right? Heavenly blessings. And may he give you support from Zion. Zion is the name of the heavenly Jerusalem, right? So may God come with his help from without, right? From outside. So again, this is a common theme in David, not relying on the help of the things in this world, although they can't be helpful, but they can't answer us when we're going through something difficult. They can't protect us when we're going through something difficult, right? God has to be part of that picture. We have to allow God the room in our hearts to be able for him to come in and bring that consolation and bring the healing that we need in our lives, the support that we need as well. That's the wonderful support structure. Because without a support structure, what happens? The building falls, right? If there's no foundation, the building's not built on anything solid and it cannot stand, right? So it's a beautiful reminder of David. And he continues at verse 4. May he remember all your offerings and receive your sacrifice with favor. What offerings is he talking about here? The offerings of our lives. The offering of our lives. May he remember. So how do we offer our lives to God? Very simple. Well, could be simple if we're in a state of grace. By simply cooperating with the will of God, opening our hearts to his love and to his truth and to his grace and to his mercy, and by being the person who God created us to be. That's what David is intimating here. That's the offering that we make of our lives to God. Because think about it. What else can we offer God? God created everything. Everything. Money. Oh, I have money. Money don't belong to you. Yeah, you may have money, but it doesn't belong to you. Everything belongs to God. We are merely stewards and caretakers of all the things that come to us from God. Right? But the greatest gift that we've received from God is not anything material. It's our life. It's our lives. And what we do with our lives is that offering to God. Right? How we honor and reverence and respect God by what we do with our life. How we use our bodies, which are in 1 Corinthians 6:19, St. Paul says our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit that we have with us from God. How do we honor God and glorify him with our bodies, right? How do we give honor to him with our lives, right? We heard Ace and I talking about our children and, you know, the gifts that they have in acting and singing and the visual arts, you know, and it's wonderful to see our children. And what's our job? To help them discover what those gifts are so that they can glorify God with their lives when they leave our house and go out into the world. They have a strong rooting. They have a strong grounding. They have a strong foundation upon which they will build their life with God.
Yeah, we were actually having a discussion yesterday after church about, you know, in service when, you know, the priest says, you know, we lift our hearts and then we respond, we lift them to the Lord. And we use that as an opportunity to say, we really, not only as we lift our hearts, we're lifting all of our time, our talents, yes, our energy. We're lifting those to God because from him, because I know when I'm burnt and spent and, you know, needing rest, I have to unplug in order to do that. But I have to plug and tap into what God's resources are for my life to give me those, you know, juices to be able to do the things that he's calling me to. And so I want my kids to understand, hey, you know, it's great to create things, but give it to God so that you can grow in it. You can always be learning, you know, find ways to then give it back to him in whatever he calls you to.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're talking today, you know, our first little segment here, for your marriage, and we're talking about affection. And you know, remember, Christ is very clear, quoting it in Matthew 19, quoting Genesis chapter 2, he says the two are one,
yeah,
right? They're no longer two, but one. So husbands and wives have to figure out how to honor God together. Yes, we have our individual gifts and talents, of course.
Yeah.
But in the sacrament of matrimony, the two become one. So you have to find ways to honor God together as a couple.
Yeah.
You know, and some, you know, like I said, sometimes, you know, when you've been with someone for so long, you start to take things for granted. And that's, we're going to talk about affection today. But I think, you know, we should be mindful of this. How do we honor God together, you know, as a couple?
Well, and wouldn't you also say that, you know, there are things that your wife is really great at that you're not? And vice versa.
Oh, definitely.
You know, so the men's side, or I guess either one really, but a lot of times men were like, well, I don't need anybody to tell me or help me. Yeah, I can do it all. I like the fact that my wife is better at things than I am, because then I can go, hey, you're really good at that. So go, you know, and then she does the same thing to me. So I'm like, oh, well, that's in my strength. I can't say no to that.
No, you know? Absolutely. No, I couldn't agree more. And it's not just personality traits.
Right.
We're talking about things that are woven into the fabric of our very being as male and female.
Yeah.
You know, that's that beautiful unity within the complementarity of our being as male and female. Those gifts, in an earthly sense, perfect. Not, you know, obviously we can't be perfect until we're in heaven, but in an earthly sense, the gifts that we give to each other as male and female, as husband and wife, perfect and complement each other.
Amen.
Right. And that's and learning to appreciate those gifts. Like, I don't mind asking my wife, what do you think we should do here? I, deferring to her,
right?
Because those are her gifts.
Yeah.
I'd be a fool to think, well, I'm the man, so I should be forgotten. No. You know, if she has, I defer to her, just like sometimes she defers to me. Is it where our gifts or where our strengths are?
Yeah.
You know, recognizing that as a married couple.
And a lot of times, too, if she has to make decisions that affect us, I trust her. If you have a piece about the decision you're making, then just tell me later, because you obviously can make that decision without me. But if it is something that is more a joint decision, just say, hey, tonight, can we make some time to talk about X? And then we just make it a priority.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. In verse 5, David says, may he give you your heart's desire and fulfill every one of your plans. Okay? Again, God's not a genie with a magic wand. Now, just do whatever. No. The heart's desire. What is our heart's desire? To be with God, right? Our heart, what our hearts are truly desiring is a deep, intimate, personal, loving relationship with the Lord our God. That's what our hearts desire. And so when our hearts are united with God's heart, our plans are united with God's plans, then we find purpose and fulfillment and meaning in our lives. Beautiful. And maybe we can get to verse 6 here. May we bring out our joy at your victory and raise banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your prayers. Again, we have something called the synonymous parallelism, where David takes a theme from the previous cola and brings it into this one as well. Awesome. May God grant all the desires that are in communion with his holy will. Beautiful. All right. We're talking about for your marriage. We're talking about affection today on Beacon of Truth. We'd love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. Yeah, I got like the pop, right? And slap and bass. I like that.
Rub that callus on the thumb, man.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, man. There are some players out there just phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, with the popping and slapping thing. Just the whole facility they have. I just love when you see people using their God-given gifts like that. Mm-hmm. Just making crap. I mean, sometimes I watch guys play. It's like, I don't want to play anymore.
Right.
Because, you know, I'll never play like that. So
I just go, that's
it.
Not
what
my style. Yeah. I'll watch you. I'm going to go play like me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I love that. Good stuff. All right. We're listening to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. Today, we're starting a little series that we're going to put in every now and again called For Your Marriage. How do we build strong, lasting marriages so that we can have a strong church and in turn a strong culture? And today, our topic for Your Marriage, we're going to start off with affection. How do we show affection in marriage? Would love to hear from you today. The phone number to call is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, for those that are considering a vocation or are in one, we are celebrating that this week with National Vocation Awareness Week. So as we dedicate our thoughts and prayers and even appreciation, you know, as I know October typically tends to be, you know, Clergy Appreciation Month. So we want to make sure that we're letting them know how much we appreciate them and that we're praying for them. Join us alongside of that. You want to find out more about it. Or if you are curious about some of the other areas of ministry, you can always check out EWTN.com.
All right. Well, we already got a number of people already on the phone, so this is going to be a popular topic. Again, we're talking about For Your Marriage. We're starting a little series of shows we're going to pop in every now and again to help build strong marriages, which help build a strong church, strong children, vocations to the priesthood, diaconate, religious life, or strong physicians and attorneys and teachers and whatever God may be calling them to. In turn, we will build a just and moral society, you know, and that starts with us. So if you want to share, how do you show affection in your marriage? Maybe you've been married for a while. You have some tricks of the trade you want to share with others, you know, so we don't take each other for granted, because it's often the little things that make the biggest difference. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Julia has been holding incredibly patiently, calling from just north of me in the state of Washington, listening on the EWTN app. Julia, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you, Deacon Harold. You are one of my favorites. I tell you, you are always just on fire with the Holy Spirit. And Ace, you know, you're all right. No, I'm just kidding. You're both
that's
wonderful.
True. I will take
no,
it.
Ace is the man. Ace is the man. Love.
I can aspire to just all right.
Ace, I knew you could handle that, so that's why I did that. Okay, you're both men's, what do you call it? A man's man. You're both men's men.
God bless
men?
You.
Yeah.
Thank plural. You, Julia.
Thank you.
So hey, I've been doing some writing over the last two or three decades that of just things that God has inspired me to do. And trying to compile him, he said not to read it, but I'll give you a little blip of one of the stories. So between 1 and 2 in the morning, I had finished cleaning my house. I had the floors immaculate. I had the counters bleached. I had all the dishes done, and homeschooling five children at that time, going to daily mass and, you know, and trying to do the best I could. I woke up around 8 or so, walked into my kitchen, and noticed that on 4 different parts of the counter were breadcrumbs. And then there was jam at the final, you know, resting point. So I was so frustrated. I was so angry. I felt so disrespected by my husband, which, you know, had gone to work and obviously made toast and messed my beautiful, immaculate kitchen. So I took all of that anger and frustration, and I looked up to heaven, and I said, God, thank you for my crummy husband. And I just thought,
crummy husband, hi.
Oh, there he goes. He's even fine.
Uh-oh. He's there, huh?
So with that, when I offered all of that up to God, he literally took my heart, my feelings, my ill feelings, all of these things I had just boiling up inside of me. And they were gone. And it was just like, oh. And then he said, you know, do it for me. You you don't clean and cook and all of this for them. I mean, you do, but you do it out of love for me, you know?
Yes.
And so I took that and I'm just like, oh, you know, Father, what am I doing? So thank you, God, for my crummy husband. And with that, when he came home from work, I told him the story, and it could have been a blown out fight, right? Because I was pretty upset and the disrespect I felt. And I just said, you know, honey, and I told him about the story, but, you know, what I told God and what the Holy Spirit inspired me to do is, you know, go to God first. Don't just act out. And I've been working on that my whole life, you know.
Wow.
And I will continue to do so. Anyways, he came home and he said, I told him of the story. And he said, honey, would you like me to clean up my crumbs after I make toast? And I said, oh, honey, that would be lovely. And so with all of that, you know, all of the feelings I had, nothing of that came up. He just essentially just said, he wasn't aware. He said, honey, I'll clean up my own mess. And I was like, oh, thank you, Heavenly Father, for the grace, for, you know, inspiring me to take that moment. Don't act out on all those feelings because they come and go. They're passing, fleeting. They're temporary. Go for the eternal. Search for the eternal. Always direct your eyes towards heaven and say, what's really going to matter? So in the end, it was beautiful because instead of having a quarrel or a fight, we laughed and we still resolved in a very positive way for my husband to clean up his own mess. And there's many other stories, but that's just one of them. What do you think?
Julia, I am smiling ear to ear right now. What, you know what I love about you, Julia, and the story? The beauty of the simplicity. It was, you know, you think, oh, okay, was this kind of thing and this kind of, crumbs on a table, you know? But to see how God works so beautifully in something so simple, and being honest with yourself, I felt disrespected. But you gotta understand something about us men. Sometimes we're clueless. the same thing happens with my wife. Like she'll be waiting for me to do something or waiting for me to see something, and I'm just not there. I'm focused on what, you know, on something else, and she just like, you know, and she just like looks at me like I'm like what? She goes, all right, what about this? I'm like, oh, I didn't know you were. Sometimes men need just to be told directly. You know, it would really mean a lot to me if you did this. I was like, oh, is that all? Oh, sure, I'd be happy to, you know. So I love the beauty and the simplicity, especially when you took it to prayer. I love that. Instead of complaining and having that anger build up till your husband got home, you brought it to God. And the way God responded, that is beautiful. And I think that's a wonderful tool that many couples can use, as beautifully simple as that is, for asking the Holy Spirit in that moment to be part of this situation that I'm in. You know, opening your heart, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you in that moment. That is awesome, right? Ah, Julia, what a great call. See, this is why I love doing this show. Calls like Julia's, especially with our theme today, for your marriage, talking about affection today. You know, how do we build strong marriages through affection in order to build a strong church and a strong culture? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Jay is driving. Looks like he's driving on I-75 in Florida. Also listening on the EWTN app. Jay, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, Deacon Harold. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jay. Great to hear from you.
Hey, on affection, I wanted to make a point that, and much like the last lady had to take it to our Lord to get assistance with her frustration, the relationship between man and a woman when it comes to affection is so dependent upon each person's ability to receive that affection. And if you turn out to be married to someone who, for whatever reason in their past or personal history, is just not affectionate and doesn't want to receive any, that's not something you can ram home. And that's something that the Lord can help you with no matter what your personal desires are. So it's got to be a case of offering it up to the Lord if you're married to someone who isn't affectionate. If you're blessed with being married to someone who is affectionate, let her rip. But if you find someone who is just not, that's not in your job jar, then you have to be willing to give, let the Lord drive the boat and provide you with a way to get through that.
Oh, beautiful insight, Jay. In fact, what you're saying hits home for me, because I am not an overly affectionate person, but my wife is, you know? So, no, I mean, I totally relate to what you're saying. In fact, let me share a little practical thing here. So, one of the things I realized, again, is that my wife craves affection. And I realized that even though I am not naturally affectionate, in other words, I don't need affection, my wife does. So one of the things I had to do was learn how to be more affectionate, since it didn't come naturally to me. So I thought, you know, how can I do this? So I was shopping one day in the store, and, you know, I was getting stuff for dinner, and I looked over, and there was a flower section in the grocery store. I just thought, you know what? I'm going to show some affection. Let me just get some flowers for no other reason other than it just be a nice gesture of love. So I got the flowers, and then, of course, I had to go get chocolate. I mean, I'm not stupid. If you're going to get flowers for your wife, you got to get some chocolate. So I went and got a little box of chocolates, and I came home, and I thought I'm going to do such a good job. I got the vase, and I put water in it, and I cut the bottoms of the stems. I poured that packet of stuff that they brought the flowers in there, and I put the flowers in. I arranged them real nice, and I put I got a little bow thing and put the chocolate there and just had it all set up real nice. And then I was so proud. Then the kids came home from school, and Claire, my oldest at that time, she looked at the table. She goes, "Uh-oh, Daddy, what did you do?" And I said, I didn't do anything, honey. I just want to show your mom how much I love her, right? And so my wife's a clinical therapist. She was working, seeing clients. She comes home, and the kids, I didn't even anticipate this. The kids were waiting for her to come home. So she comes home. She walks through the door. They grab her. "Mommy, mommy, look." They pull her inside, and she looks over at the table, and her eyes get real big. She looks at me like, "What day is today?" Like, did I miss something here? And I said, no. I just did this. I was at the store. I was just thinking about you. I just want to show you how much I love you. She walked over. She smelled the flowers. She looked at the candy. She came over, gave me a big old hug and a kiss. And the kids were watching all of this. And what got me, Jay, was the kids' reaction. I did this from my wife, not even thinking about the kids, but the kids got to see me showing the sign of love and affection for my wife, going outside of myself. And like you said so beautifully, Jay, so wonderfully, prioritizing your spouse's desires and meeting those, even if it means going outside of yourself. And from then on, Jay, that gave me the courage to continue to do acts of affection. You know, it kind of broke a little barrier for me, and I started doing more acts of affection. Like this trip, we just got back from the Oregon coast. I planned a trip myself. I found the place, and I said, "Hun, here's what we're doing." And she's like, "Oh, crap." I mean, it was just wonderful. So, no, Jay, what a great call. I could not agree with you more. But prioritizing your spouse's desire for affection. Awesome call, Jay. All right, we're talking about affection today on this little segment that we're going to call For Your Marriage. We're going to do these maybe once a month or so. For Your Marriage. And we're kicking it off by talking about affection today. Would love to hear from you. How do you show affection to your spouse? Even if you've been married for a while, maybe you're struggling to show affection. You know, would love to hear from you on, because often the little things that make the biggest difference in marriage. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Jeff is calling from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, listening on Sirius XM 130. Jeff, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you, Deacon. Appreciate that. I'm supposed to follow Jenna and Jay? I'm supposed to fill in some I'm supposed to fill in some helpful gaps there, huh? Well, I'm gonna take a shot at it. Back to why don't they curse Buddha and everything else? They're not a threat. The only threat to evil is God Almighty Himself, and they know it. They know it because it's written in their hearts. So they're not afraid of things that they shouldn't be afraid of. They're afraid of the only thing that they should be, like Jenna, yielding to, and yes, and being docile. It's a relationship thing. It is really less of me, and I don't mean me. I mean any of us wonderful church militants on our way to being saints. But how do you get that relationship so close that it's easy to be loving all the time? It's a practice, and you'll fail. That's thank God for the sacrament of reconciliation, right? But keep trying, and you can get better and better and better. Now, how to do that? The other thing you said is David said, and you got to go to the Word. You got to seek that. You got to like that more. But I got to tell you, as physical beings go through space and time, you actually have to schedule that. So I met my wife when she was 17. We've been married close to 40 years. God has blessed us with two beautiful sons and two beautiful grandsons. I don't know why everybody isn't more thankful. But Jay also said something very insightful. What my definition of or value of what I would rate is I'm appreciative of that. It is not maybe it is definitely different from yours, from my wife's and anybody else's. But remember, and when you're married, and I think you can stretch this to other people, the two become one.
Yes.
So when you're that close, the appreciation is like similarly shared. But I get it. We're not that close all the time. But little things and look, the flowers and the candies. You know, some people would actually not even appreciate that and see it as some approach. Like it's amazing. Your daughter said, "What did you do wrong?" Right? Where did that come from?
Yeah, exactly.
Where did that come from? But you a smile, a touch, an agreement. A head nod. I can tell you, I don't know anybody from my grandkids to my mother in her 80s that doesn't like relaxing with their legs up, having their feet, ankles, and calves rubbed with nice oil, moving their little toes that they've carried around the world for so long. If you do it right, they'll pass out peacefully where they sleep. And trust me, they'll appreciate that. Yeah. You know, letting somebody choose the first piece of pizza. It's not a big deal, but it might be if she's eyeing up the one you want. So I think you just got to keep it real, but more importantly, keep connected to the Holy Spirit and let love be our guide, and I think it will attract its own appreciation.
Oh, I love that, Jeff. You're so right. The little things make the biggest difference. And just to drive home the point you made, Jeff, you know, when my wife and I were at the coast this weekend, she was out literally flying a kite. She was on the beach flying a kite. And I went out to get crepes because my wife, you know, studied in France and she loves French food and so we would get some crepes. And so I got to the place, I texted her, you know, here are the different types of crepes. Which one do you want? And I didn't hear back from her. And I'm in line. I want to hold people up. So I just made a judgment call. I'm just going to get these three. And whatever one she wants, fine. But I had in mind which one I wanted. So I got back to the room. And then a few minutes later, she came back from flying the kite. And I said, "I got the crepes." And, "Well, what kind did you get?" And she goes, "Oh, sorry, I didn't see your text. I didn't. Oh, sorry. I wasn't paying attention." And so the one that I wanted, she wanted. And nice. I said, "Dang, that's." And in my mind, I was saying, "Oh man, that's the one that I wanted." But you know what? Just like you say, Jeff, just to see how happy she was, little simple thing like that made a huge difference. You know, I love that. I love that. Thank you so much for your call, Jeff. You have really helped to inspire a lot of people listening in their marriage. Again, it doesn't have to be something huge all the time. But as I've said, and as Jeff said so beautifully, the little things often make the biggest difference. A laugh, a smile, a card, a hug, a kiss, a common courtesy, holding the chair out, holding the car door open, opening the door, carrying groceries in, something like that, that creates an environment that clearly and repeatedly expresses love. That's what we're talking about today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. We're talking about affection in our little, starting a little series called For Your Marriage, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. John Michael is calling from Columbus, Ohio. I'm actually going to be in New Philadelphia, Ohio this weekend. He's listening on St. Gabriel Radio. John Michael, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Love it. This is such a fun and insightful new program. I really appreciate you hosting this and doing it. Just three quick things for my wife and I. We've just been married 4 months, so we're still kind of in the honeymoon phase. But one thing we found really fruitful, you know, she's Italian, English is her second language, so she's taught me a lot of different pet names. And I found, referring to one another in a sweet, affectionate way. For Italians, amore is kind of like the American equivalent of babe. So amore means love, or amore mio is my love, amata is my lover, tesoro is my treasure. So there's quite a lot in terms of just pet names and the ways that we refer to one another, addressing each other affectionately and lovingly. Words of affirmation, we try to honor and affirm each other at least once a day, and just verbally praise or affirm one another in terms of how we're treating people or things that we think of doing and ways that we carry ourselves. And then lastly, really practical, is just physically, we try to hold hands at Mass. We'll actually, when we kneel together, we'll wrap one arm around the other and kind of form, you know, how you fold your own hands. We actually fold our two hands together while we kind of wrap one hand behind each other's backs, if that makes sense. So we're kind of pressed against each other.
Yeah.
And we actually do that at Mass, just kneeling right next to one another and holding hands on the pew in front of us. So just very clearly showing we care for one another. We're being affectionate. And, you know, again, she's Italian. So she was really happy to find that a Midwest boy like myself was actually, very big on physical touch with my love languages. So those are a few things that we found to be really fruitful.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that, John. Absolutely fabulous. Again, do you see the theme? All those who are listening and watching, you didn't hear any huge, grandiose gestures or anything like that. It's the little things over time. Now, John, one thing, and I love the fact that you and your beautiful Italian bride have these wonderful practices, but you have to be able to adapt when the kids come. Because I guarantee you, when the kids come, you ain't going to be wrapping your arms around each other. You're going to be getting the kid from running down the middle of the aisle during Mass. You know? So the thing is, when the kids come and circumstances change and, you know, you have to adapt. So, you know, it's beautiful that you're laying a strong, beautiful foundation now, so that it becomes a habit. So when the kids come and circumstances change, you guys get busier, our lives get busier, that you're going to have to find ways to adapt. So you like the pet names. Right? The only time I call my wife Colleen is when I'm introducing her to someone else. We never call each other by our names, ever. We have pet names for each other that we've had we've been married 30 years, John. And so we've called each other these pet names for 30 years, and we still use them to this day. And I said the only time I ever use her name is like I'm talking on the phone for like a medical form. Like, I mean, we recently just redid all our insurance and, long-term health care and all that kind of stuff. And my wife says Colleen, you know, it may seem strange for me to say it because I never call her that. But it does make a big difference. Like the little signs of affection and appreciation, you know, go a long, long way. So I love that, John, that even after just 4 months, you guys are still, it's like we say to a priest when they get ordained, right? The oils are still wet, right? So you guys are still, you know, going through the early stages of marriage, which is beautiful. And I love that you're already mindful and paying attention to the fact of the love language that you guys need to be able to show and to communicate well together, especially through very simple things like affection. So keep that up, John. I want to encourage you. All right, man, what a great show today. You know, again, for your marriage, you're going to be doing these shows maybe once a month or every 5 weeks or so with a different theme during that time. So we start off with affection today. Now, remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at EW10.com/radio. Tomorrow, we're talking about sacred tradition. And until we are together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.